We begin the current daf Masech the site of daf Chav Gimel. Begin on the bottom of daf Chav Beis Mabez, four lines up at the bottom of the Yamad, where the Gemara continues the Mishnah that we began on the previous daf, segueing, transitioning into different halachas relating to halachas of Saita. And then that transition involves into different halachas related to what we're discussing. So the Mishnah continues and says, Nitmas menchasa achli kitchabakli. If the mincha, the flour offering, which is one of the processes that are done for the saita, is that she brings what's called a mincha saita, a flour offering that's made out of barley. If that mincha became tame, until it wasn't yet sanctified in a vessel, which is that when you take, you bring your flour offering, you put it into the kli sharis, if it wasn't yet sanctified and became tame, which obviously you can't use something tame in the service of the Beis HaMikdash, saharehi kakala menachis, it's like the halach of all flour offerings, where if they became tame, if it wasn't yet sanctified in the vessel, and vitipada, it could be redeemed. That is to say that you sell this flour offering to someone that could use that flour now for unconsecrated purposes, and now the monies that are received in exchange for that are used to purchase another flour offering. But says the Mishnah, v'imisha kitcha b'kli, if it became tame after it was already sanctified in the vessel in the Beis HaMikdash, again, harehi kakala menachis, and it's like every single mincha in that type of situation, where vitisarf, then it has to be burnt. And the reason is because once it's sanctified in the vessel, it gets kedushas haguf, it gets physical intrinsic sanctity, and therefore it can't be redeemed. It can't go out and become chulun anymore, so you can't sell it for someone else to buy it. Why would someone buy something that has to be burned? And rather it just goes and it has to be burnt, and you have to then bring a different mincha. Now the Mishnah continues, it says, ve'elu shemichasei nisrafis. Now that's just one example. Now the Mishnah considers a few other types of menachas, flour offerings, that in the case of a saita, get burnt again, obviously, as we just explained, if afterwards already sanctified in the vessel, and then this situation happens, then again, as these examples that the Mishnah is going to explain, there's no more reason yet anymore for the mincha saita, which only goes together with the woman drinking, and once one of these things happens, she's not going to drink anymore, so the process of what's known as the saita, the suffix saita, is not being done, so therefore then, once it was sanctified, there's nothing we could do with it anymore, so then it's going to be burnt, again, not on the Mizbeach, but rather somewhere on the side in a different place. So we continue on top of Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah explains what the cases are. Ha'imeres tamei ani lach. If the woman says to the husband, it's true, I am tamei, I was unfaithful. So then we already know she's a definite saita, and there's no reason for going through with the drinking of the water, and therefore the accompanying mincha saita is not going to be brought, and one that was sanctified, so you just burn it. So too, if witnesses come and say that she's tamei, again, there's no reason for the drinking, which is to verify if we have two witnesses verifying it. Or the woman says, I'm just not drinking. And if she refuses, she refuses. So we're not going to go through with the drinking, and therefore there's no mincha brought, and therefore it gets burnt. So if let's say the husband refuses, he just says, I don't want my wife to drink this. Or if on the road up from where they live to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash, he had cohabitation with her, which, as we explained previously, invalidates that the water's not going to do what it needs to do with her. So again, there's no drinking purpose, and therefore there's no mechasaita purpose. Now, another example, the Mishnah says, is v'chala nesuas l'kahanim. Any woman that's married to a kohen, even if the kmitz, the fistful that's sacrificed on Mizbeach, was done as it's supposed to, and actually the mincha didn't become tamei, still, mechisei nisrafes. Their mincha, meaning after the kaimitz was sacrificed, you have what's called the shiraim, the leftovers, which are usually consumed. They're not going to be consumed, and rather they're going to be burnt, not on the mizbeach, but rather, as the Gemara will explain, on what's called the beis hadeshen, which is the place where the ashes would be put, other places where non-sacrificed things would be burnt. So any woman married to a kayin, is her mincha, not just the saita, her mincha is going to be burnt. Now, on that, the Mishnah explains that there is this difference that Bas Yisrael Shenisus L'Kohen, you could have even a non-Kohen, a woman from a non-Kohanic family, but if she's married to a Kohen, as we just explained, Minchas Nesrefes, her mincha will be burnt. It's not going to be consumed, the shrine, which normally a flower offering, if you're not a Kohen. It's the kmitz of the festival is burnt on the Mizbeach, and the rest, the shrine, are eaten. Here, although she's not from a Kohanic family, since she's married to a Kohen, it's going to be burnt. Whereas the Kohanis, which means to say a daughter from a family of Kohanim, if she's shenisus liyisrael, if she's married to a non-Kohen, minchas necheles, her mincha, meaning her shiraim, is going to be eaten. Now the reason for this is because the pasuk says, minchas kohen kol tia, the mincha of a Kohen will be totally burnt. It's not going to be eaten. It says Kohen, the Lashon Zachar, that it's a male. But a Kahanis, a Bas Kohen, who's married to a Yisrael, her mincha is going to be eaten. And so too, if she's not married to anyone, if she's a widow or a divorcee, if she brings a mincha, her mincha will be eaten. Now the Mishnah actually says, moreover, Ma bein Kohen l'Kahanis, as we just explained one example, the difference between a Kohen and a Kahanis. So now the Mishnah expands on this and says, what are more differences between a Kohen, a male, and the female Kahanis, brothers and sisters? So the Mishnah says, Minchas Kahanis Nechelis. As we just explained, the mincha of a Bas Kohen is eaten, the Shiraim, Minchas Kohen and Nechelis, but the mincha of a Kohen is not eaten, it's totally burnt. Another difference is, Kahanis Mischalelis. If the daughter of a Kohen has bia, a cohabitation with someone that's not permitted to her, then she becomes unable to partake from Truma, and she's not allowed to marry a Kohen anymore. Whereas a Kohen in Mischal, however, if a Kohen marries a Grusha or a Zaina or a Chalala where he's not allowed to marry, he does not become a Chalala, he doesn't become a Chalal. And the reason of the whole Mishnah, the Gemara is going to explain what's the reasoning for all these differences that we're delineating over here. So he doesn't become a Chalal even though he is having bia with someone that is forbidden. Another difference is, Kahanis Metama L'Mesin. A Bas Kohen could make herself Tame to a corpse, whereas V'in Kohen Metama L'Mesin, but a Kohen's not allowed to become Tame L'Mesin. Kohen Eichel B'Kachi Kachin. A Kohen, a male, the boy, could partake of the holiest of holies, which there's two basic types of kabbanis. There's regular Kachim, like Shlamim, then there's Kachi Kachim, which are Chatas and Ashim and the Mincha. By all of them, it says, Kol Zachar B'Kahanim Yechelu, which only the males, and not the females, so ve'in kahanis aichaz b'kachi kachim. But however, the girls, they don't eat from the kachi kachim. Now, the Mishnah expands even further. Ma bein ish le'isha. This is not an exhaustive list, but what are other differences between even not a kain, even the Yisrael, between a man and a woman? So ish pareh or pareh. A man who has a nega, he does paria, which means he lets his hair grow long when he's mitzayra, and he does prima, which means he has to rend his garments. But ve'in the isha parasa paramas. But the woman does not let her hair grow and rend her garments as part of the mitzayra process. Another difference is ha'ish madur es benoy. A man could take a neder of for his son, his minor son, benazir, to make him into a nazir, and the nazirs will take effect on his son even for when he becomes an adult. But the woman cannot make her son accept a neder of Naziris for her minor son. A man could cut his hair for the Naziris that his father had taken. In other words, if his father had made a neder of Naziris. And moreover, he designated Karbonis to bring when he finishes Naziris, which you have to bring. Then he died. Now, subsequently, his son became a Nazir. The son could cut his hair on the day that he concludes his Naziris, and he could bring the karbonis that his father had separated for himself. But a woman cannot do the same thing. She can't accept the Naziris to then cut her hair and bring karbonis that her father had separated for his Naziris. Another difference is, ish mekadish es bitoy, a man could receive the kedushin to get his daughter that's a minor engaged without her knowledge, but a woman cannot marry off her daughter that's a minor without her daughter's consent. Ha'ish meicher es bitoy. A man can sell his daughter as a maidservant when she's a minor, but a woman cannot sell her daughter as a maidservant. Another difference is ha'ish niskal arum. A man, when he has skili, gets stoned. He gets stoned naked. Ve'in ish niskal sarum. However, a woman does not get stoned naked. Ha'ish nitla ve'in ish nitlas. A man, who after he's executed, gets hung, but a woman doesn't get hung. And finally, ish nimkar b'gnevase, a man who, after stealing, doesn't have the money to repay the theft, he gets sold as a slave, ve'in ish nimkar b'gnevase, but a woman does not get sold for the theft that she committed. So the Gemara explains from the halacha of our Mishnah that we mentioned before, that anyone that's married to a kohen, her mincha gets burnt and it's not consumed. So the Gemara brings a b'raisa, turn up on the b'raisa. Anyone that's married to a Kohen, Minchaseya Nisrafis. So their Mincha, whether it's a Mincha Saita, as we're discussing here, an Aram Mesechta, or a Mincha Nadava, even if she just brings a donated flower offering to the Beis HaMikdash, the Mincha is going to be burnt. Ketzad, how so? So the Brice explains the logic behind it. Kahanis Levi v'Yisraelish, and this is the Kohen. If you have whether this woman is from a family of Kahanim or Levim or Yisraelim, but if she gets married to a Kohen, Ein Minchas Nechelas, her mincha, her flower offering, cannot be eaten. Where although generally her flower offering, the Shiraim are eaten, here it's not. Now the reason is as follows. Memnei Sheyesh Loi Chelik Ba, because her husband, who's paying for the flower offering, where he has a part in this flower offering. Now, regarding a kayan, it says, Mechom Mechaz Kayan, that has to be called Loisaychel. It's not going to be eaten. So therefore, her flower offering, the remnants, cannot be eaten, because ultimately, on some level, it's a Mechaz Kayan. But, Ve'ina Oilukal, says the Braisa, but it's not totally sacrificed on the Mizbeach itself. The reason being is, Mnei Sheyesh Lochelik Ba, because the woman, she has a part in this flower offering too, because it's coming to atone for her. Now, the mincha of a non-kohen, or even a bas kohen, if she's a girl and not a boy, if she's female, not male, are not brought kalal. That's only for the kohen who's a zachar. So it can't be brought without first having kemitza, which is a fistful. So rather what's done is, el ha-kohenitz karav ba'atzmai, you have to cut up into two stages. You have to first do the kemitza, the fistful, and that sacrifice on the mizbeach, because, again, maybe on some level it's hers. And her, she's not a kohen, even if she's a bas kohen, it has to therefore have kemitza. And then there's the shirayim. Now, but bashirayim, they're not eaten, because on some level it's his, and his flower offerings are not eaten, so rather they're craving ba'atzman. After the kemitza, the fistful, was put on the mizbeach, then they take the rest of the shrine and also put that on the mizbeach again, because on some level, we split it up because of her, so there's kemitza and shrine, and she has to have kemitza. And however, then the rest is burnt on the mizbeach too, because it can't be eaten, because if it's his, therefore the rest is then sacrificed on the mizbeach. Now, on this, the Gemara asks that regarding what this Bryce is saying, how we divide it up, because on some level it's his and some it's hers, but Ikri Khan, you run into a problem. You run to the halacha that's mentioned, that kol shehu mimenu le'ishim, that says whatever has from this that was already brought and sacrificed as to the fires on the mizbeach, and this is the remnants of that, harehu b'bal taktiru, that is now forbidden to then not to be sacrificed on the mizbeach, as Rashi explains. The pasuk of a yikra beis should have said, ki chol sar v'chol devash lo'y taktiru la'ashem, which that's talking about a certain specific halacha, that leavening and honey cannot be sacrificed to Hashem on the Mizbeach. Now, why does it say mimenu? It says, kalamincha shatukriv l'Hashem loisasa loisaose chametz kichol sa'ar v'chol davash loisaktir mimenu. Why does it say mimenu? From it. We're talking about it. Why say from it? So rather, it's coming to say its own drasha for the end of the pasuk, where when the pasuk says loisek tiru, it's starting a new drasha to the end of the pasuk. It says, you can't sacrifice anything that had mimenu from it, which the end of the pasuk says, ishal Hashem, that was already sacrificed as on the fayas to Hashem. Now, included in this prohibition is the meat of all karbanis, besides for an oila, where all of it is sacrificed on the mizbeach, and so too, the remnants of a mincha, where if you have something that was put onto the mizbeach, which is ishal Hashem, which are the emurim, by a regular carbon, you have certain sacrificial parts that are ishal Hashem, and by a flower offering, the kemitza is put on to the fayas to Hashem, but the rest of it, mimenu, that is loisak tiru, the pasuk saying, you can't go ahead. Now, so therefore here also, since we have to consider the fact that she has part in this mincha, so sacrificing the kaimitz was according to the halacha how it's supposed to be. But however, the shirayim, the remnants, are considered in the prohibition of bal taktir. You can't sacrifice something that has specific parts brought on. The rest actually has a negative prohibition to do that. So we understand why you divided it and you did a kemitza to take care of hers, but then you can't eat it. I understand you can't eat it because maybe it's his, meaning he has some rights in it. But how can you take that part and put it on the mizbeach if that shouldn't be a good resolution either? Because that's a prohibition of bal taktir. So Amr Yehud the Bereder B'Shimon ben Pazi, he says that the brayse is not difficult. You could put on the shrine and burn it on the mizbeach, because the masik lehu l'shum eitzim. You burn it, you bring it up, and you burn it for it to be considered like firewood, which you put firewood on the mizbeach. It's not a carbon, but you put a firewood to be able to have fire to burn the sacrificial parts on the mizbeach. Where you say as follows, you say that if they're fit to be sacrificed on top of the Mizbeach. And really, we should not have done Kemitza to take a fistful first. Rather, all of it should have been burnt on the Mizbeach because ultimately he's paying for it. So it's like a Minchas Kayin. So therefore, you say that this should be a sacrificial sacrifice for its Lishma, for the sake of this being a Minchas Kayin. And the fact that Kemitza was done first doesn't make a difference. We just split up into two parts. But really, we could have all put it on top of the Mizbeach at one time. Now, more will we say, but if let's say that no, that it should have had only a Kemitza, and the rest of the flower offering are the Shirayim, so therefore it's not fit, it's Baal Taktir to put it onto the top of the Mizbeach, we'll say when we do that we're not putting on to burn it as a Mincha offering, because that's Baal Taktir, we're putting on to be like fuel for the fire of the rest of the Karbanos on top of the Mizbeach. Rabbi Elazar says, which is Machlokes in Masechet Zvachim. The situation there it was talking about, where if the limbs of a Karban Chatas get mixed together, we don't know to differentiate it from the limbs of a Karban Oilam. So Rabbi Elazar says, you put all the limbs and you burn on top of the Mizbeach. And he says that we'll see and we'll qualify whichever is the meat of the Karban Chatas, where it's not supposed to go on because it's only the Emun that go on. We say that we'll consider it as if it's firewood. Where the Chacham say no. They say what's called, you have to do Ibur Tzura, you have to let it change from its form, it has to deteriorate on some level, and then it goes, and we burn it based on Sreifa, you can't burn it when it's valid to be burnt on Tamasbeach. You wait till it deforms, and then you bring it out somewhere else, and you burn it somewhere else. And the reason being is because you're not allowed to sacrifice the limbs of a Karban Chatas on top of the Mizbeach. Again, because of the halacha we just mentioned, Kosher Menu La'ishim, whatever, has certain parts on the Mizbeach, the rest is actually from the prohibition of Loisek Tiru to sacrifice that on top of the Mizbeach. Now, whereas Rabbi Elazar holds, he says no. The next pasuk says, what's the words, carbon ratios takrivo eislam lashem. The carbon of the first, that you sacrifice tasha. So, on that, Rabbi Elazar learns that that's going back on the previous pasuk, which mentions se'er and devash. In other words, that there are certain firsts that you do bring from what we said can't go on top of Mizbeach. For example, Bikurim, you bring from Tamarim, which you're going to have an element of Devash, of honey. So too the Mincha of the Shtei HaLechem, which is also a Rashis, is the first of the wheat that's brought in the Mizbeach, in the Beis HaMikdash on Shavuos, that is also brought from Sa'ar, it's brought from leavening. Now on that, the Pasuk there ends, and it says, the elam mizbeach lo yalu l'reich nechayach, and to the mizbeach, it should not be brought as a reich nechayach, as a pleasing aroma. So on that learns Rebbe Elazar that that's going back on the previous pasuk of mimenu ishul Hashem, which it qualifies the iser of Baal Taktir to say that the iser of haktara, of sacrificing whatever was ishul Hashem on the mizbeach, is only if your intention is l'reich nechayach, that it's to be a pleasing aroma for Hashem. You're bringing the remnants of the mincha or the limbs of a chatas on top of the mizbeach to be a reich nechayach. Oh, that's the iser of leisek tiru. But if you're bringing it to be, let's say, for fuel, for firewood, then you could take the remnants and there won't be an iser of leisek tiru. To sound like learn the brisa. He says, the iser of bringing the remnants of whatever has certain parts brought on the mizbeach is only if you're doing it as to be for the carbon, to be a pleasing aroma. But you can put it up to be wood, to be fuel for the fire. And therefore, we make this condition and we say, look, he has a part in it and she has a part in it. If it's his part, of course we could sacrifice on Tamizbeach. But on some level, she has a part in it too, and therefore the shrine cannot be. So we say that if it's like her part, then we say it's like fuel. And if it's really his part, we say that, okay, so that's being brought on top of Mizbeach, like every Minchas Kayin that's totally sacrificed on top of the Mizbeach. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, Hanicha l'Rabbi Elazar de'isle ha'svar. So this resolution of Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Shimon Pazi works if you hold like Rabbi Elazar, who holds this logic that you could say that we're not bringing this, in other words, he qualifies Baal Taktir, like the next pasuk says, only if it's l'Reich Nechayach. But El Rabbanan, the less Lohai Svar, Ma'ikalamim, according to Rabbanan that argue over them, Masechet Zvachim, what are you going to be able to say? How do they understand this halach of the Braisa? So that the Gemara says, you're right. According to them, the Avdi Lohu, Kriblaz of Rabbi Shimon, they actually will not do the way it was mentioned in this Braisa, but rather, as we mentioned in the Mishnah, actually it's going to be like Kriblaz of Rabbi Shimon, where the backdrop of this is Masechet Menachas and Ein Gimel Mabez, where there the Gemara is discussing the Mincha. Michas Chayte of a Kain, where there are three averis. One is Shmias Koel, where if someone was really knows testimony, and they say, okay, say testimony, says, I don't know testimony, he's lying, or what's called Bitus Sepasayim, where he just lies in the oath, or regarding Tumas Mikdash or Kedashav, where if he's impure and he comes in contact with holy things. So then, what's called Dali Dalis, there's three levels, so three tiered, what you can afford. If you could afford animals, you bring animals for the sin offering that you did. If not, then you bring birds. If not, if you're really poor, so then you bring what's the poorest, that's the lowest level, which are flower offerings, which is the mincha. So that's called minchas chayte. Now, talking about specifically over there, if it's a minchas chayte of a kain. So there's the Rabbanon arguing in Bishimin over there, and they say, the pasuk mentions, v'hoysu la kain ka mincha. And that it should be for the kain, when he has one of these three sins of the oil of the yard, that like a mincha, like a flower offering. So they understand that the minchas chayva of a kain should be kalal, meaning when he has to bring because of a sin offering, which is what we're discussing, like a mincha, which mincha, that he always brings when you have a minchas nedava, where, and there we know the halacha is by a minchas nedava of a kain, it's kalal, it's totally sacrificed in the mizbeach. Here also, by his minchas chayva, there's not going to be a separate kmitza fistful, rather the whole thing is put and sacrificed on the mizbeach. Now, whereas Reb Shimon expounds over there, the pasuk, and he says, what do you think? That does it say v'hoisla koin kimintchasai, that it should be for the koin like his own mincha? It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that his mincha's chayv is like his mincha's nadava. Rather, it says kemincha, like the flower offering, meaning like the flower offering of all other people, like a Yisrael that brings the mincha's chayte, which is just like by Yisrael, there is a fistful taken off, so too the mincha's chayte of a koin has a fistful of it taken off and brought on the mizbeach. Now, there Reb Shimon continues and he says, wait, but then you would think, just like by a mincha of a Yisrael, the shirayim, the remnants are eaten, so too you would think by the minchas chayte of a kohen, the remnants are eaten. So that's what he says. No, it says in the pasuk, v'hois la kohen ka mincha. What does that mean? It should be like for the kohen, like a mincha, meaning of a minchas Yisrael. In other words, what's related to the kohen? What does the kohen do? The kohen has to do his avodah, which is to do the fistful. That has to do with the fist of the kohen. That is what has to have, in contrast to a minchas nadav of a kohen, by the minchas chayv of a kohen. However, it's not regards to the fires, the ishim, like a mincha of Yisrael. How so? Which is that the fistful is sacrificed by itself, and then the shirayim are sacrificed by itself, because Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of this aloha of kol shemenu le'ishim, that whatever had part of it sacrificed, that the rest is not sacrificed. So therefore he says that it can't be eaten, because we see that there is a differentiation between the kain and the Yisrael, because whatever it's equating the kain to the Yisrael is only regards to the kain himself, which is the kmitza. So you have to do kmitza, but the rest will be the same as the minchas kain, which is all sacrifice. It just has to be split into two stages. And that's the Reb Shimon we mentioned before. But Reb Elazar Reb Shimon argues. And that's the time like we learned in the Braisa, where Reb Elazar Reb Shimon Oimer, he says, and this is what the Rabbanan who disagree with the logic of Reb Elazar will have to tell you in the halacha of our Mishnah, hakayim itzkar ba'atzmai. The fistful is sacrificed by itself, Ashirayim, but the remnants, since they hold like Reb Elazar, unlike Reb Shimon, that you can't take the Shirayim now, sacrifice on the Mizbeach, so rather Mispazrim Albeis Hadeshim. They are then burnt and scattered on the place where the ashes are put. In other words, you're right, you can't eat it, because on some level it's like Mechaz Kayin, and Mechaz Kayin, it says Leiseichel, but on the other point, you can't either bring it on top of the Mizbeach, because of the problem of Baal Tzak Diru, and again, they don't have the qualification of Reb Elazar, that's only when you bring it for L'Reich Nechayach. So therefore, what do you do with it? You then put it on a Beis Hadeshen, and that's how we have the halacha of our Mishnah, which is that whoever's married to a Kayin, her mincha is not going to be eaten, again, as the wording of our Mishnah, but it's not going to be burnt on top of the Mizbeach either, rather, it's going to be thrown on Beis Hadeshen. Now, we continue on Talmud Beis, where the Gemara concludes this logic, is that because although there's three opinions mentioned in the Braisa we just quoted, which the Rabbanan argue on Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, they say that all of it is sacrificed in one shot on the Mizbeach. Then you had Reb Shimon who said, no, it's compared to the mincha, not of his own mincha of Nadava, but rather the mincha of Yisrael, so it's split up into two parts, but you're right, then it's all sacrificed on the Mizbeach. Then there's Reb Elazar Reb Shimon who said, no, you can't take the Shirayim and put on the Mizbeach. Rather, it's burnt al Beis Hadeshen. So we're trying to take the Rabbanan and say that they're like Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, but in that price, there's a Rabban who argued Reb Elazar Reb Shimon. So then the Gemara explains, that's Ela B'Mechas Chayte Shal Kahanim. It's only over there by the flower offering of a sin of a Kayin, where there they say that it's all burnt on the Mizbeach, because the Basa Kravi, because they learn when it says Kamincha, it's comparing the Minchas Chayva of a Kohen to the Mincha Nedav of a Kohen, where it doesn't need a fistful, it doesn't need the Kamitza, and therefore all of it is burnt on the Mizbeach. Aval Baha, but says the Gemara, but here, by the case we're discussing of a Ashes Kohen, regarding a woman that's married to a Kohen, where we're not talking about something that could be sacrificed on the Mizbeach. And again, as we explained before, because maybe we qualify the Mincha based on her, and therefore they're full-fledged Shirayim, and Shirayim cannot be sacrificed on the Mizbeach, I feel the Rabbanu Maidu, even the Rabbanu would agree, and that's what we're comparing this to the Lachar Blaz Reb Shimon, that they would be mispazer, they would be scattered on Beis Hadeshen, and the Shirayim would not be sacrificed, again, like the Lachar Mishnah, where although it's not eaten, but it's neither sacrificed on the Mizbeach, rather it's thrown on Beis Hadeshen. Now the Gemara continues quoting from a Mishnah that said, Bas Yisrael HaNesua V'chula, as we mentioned this before, that a Bas Yisrael is married to a Kayin, so then you have this unique halacha where it's not going to be, if it's married to a Kayin, so it's not going to be eaten. Now, on that the Gemara asks, as Rashi explains the Gemara's question, that my time, or what's the reason that the Mishnah says, by a Minchas Kayhenis, a female from a Kayin family, her flower offering is eaten when she's not married to a Kayin. But when she's married to a Kohen, it's not eaten. However, it's also not totally sacrificed on the Mizbeach. Now, although we just explained the logic of the halacha, now the Gemara is going to explain that a source from it from a pasuk. The Amar Krabba, because the pasuk says in a Yikra, says V'chol Minchas Kohen Kol Tia, that the entirety of the flower offering of a Kohen should be burnt on the Mizbeach. Now, it says Lo Yisei Achel, it shouldn't be eaten. Well, obviously, if it's totally burnt on the Mizbeach, it's not eaten. So that comes to include even the wife of a Kohen, her Mincha is not going to be eaten. But regarding the Kol Tia part, is Kohen V'loy Kohenes, it says the Mincha's Kohen is Kol. So that's why we have this unique halacha where the Kohenes, who, or any woman that's married to a Kohen, where although her Mincha cannot be eaten, it says Lo Yisei Achel, but neither is it going to be burnt, again, because here on some level she has, it's being brought for her, and she's not a Kayin in the Zachar, so that's why it's not going to be totally burnt on Mizbeach. And again, as we had that, either then, it's, as the Rabban had said, it's going to be burnt al Beis Hadeshen. Now the Mishnah said the other differences between a Kayin and a Kohenis is Kohenis Mischaleles and Kayin Ein Mischal, where if either one of them has relationships with someone that's forbidden to them, so the Kohenis becomes a Chalala, which has certain ramifications, she can't have Truma anymore, she can't get married to a Kayin, and whereas a Kohen, nothing happens to him in that regard. So the Gemara asks Menolan, from where do we know this? Because the Amakar, the pasuk says, "V'yikra says v'lo yichal zar ba'amav," that he shouldn't desecrate his children from his people. Where that pasuk is told in the context of a Kohen that marries someone that's pasul for kahuna, where the Gemara expounds in Masechtas Kedushin of Ein Zayin Yamad Aleph, it says lo yichalel, should just say lo yochel. Why say lo yichal extra lamed? To say that there's two chilun, there's two desecrations. One is that he desecrates the woman, and one is that he desecrates his children, where the Kohen can be mechal both of them, but as the Gemara says, Zar mischal v'hu ein mischal. So his children become chalalim, and the woman, so that's how we see that Kohanis is mischal, but he does not become a chal, and therefore he continues having his status as a Kohen kosher. And the Mishnah said another difference is Kohanis mitama v'chula, that a Kohanis could become tamil mason, but a Kohen, a male, cannot. My time, what's the reason? Amar Kro, because the pasuk says, Emer el ha-kahanim b'nei Aaron, say to the kahanim, the sons of Aaron, where it says in the pasuk, l'nefesh lo yitama, that they should not become tamid to a nefesh, so that's b'nei Aaron, the sons of Aaron, but v'loy b'nois Aaron, not the daughters of Aaron, they're not commanded in this warning of not becoming tamid l'meis. Now the Mishnah said another difference is, kohen oichel b'kachay kachim. A kohen, the male, eats from the holiest of holies, chatas, asham. Now, because it says in the pasuk by Mincha, which is Kachar Kachim, it says Kol Zachar b'bnei Aaron yichlanu, that any male in the sons of Aaron, they'll eat it, again, not the women. Now, then the Mishnah extended this discussion. It says, V'ma bein ish v'chulu, what's it between a man and a woman, even by Yisrael? So one chalik was by Mitzayra, regarding Priya and Priyama. So the Gemara brings the source for this, Tarabon Ulinda Braisa. It says in the pasuk, ish tzeruhu, that a man, if he'll have tzeras. Now, therefore, says the Braisa, ainly, I would not know that creating the halachas of a full-fledged tumah of a nesek of a tzaras, ela ish. I would only know that that applies to a man, because it says ish. Ish minayin, how do we know it applies to a woman? So kishu oimer, when the next pasuk says v'hatzerua ashabay, that the mitzorah that has this nega in him, in them, now it shouldn't have said that, because it should have only said the halacha that the pasuk's talking about, that the garment should be rent and the head should be have the hair grow, because we know that it's talking about, it already said that we're talking about a mitzorah, so we know the context. So why does it say and the tzerua that we'll have in it this halachas? It's because it's coming to include a different mitzvah, for example, a woman. So hari kan shnayim. So we already have both, the men and the woman included in the halachas of mitzvah. So imken, then the question is, amat tam elu me'ish. So if we're already coming to include the woman in this halacha, so why is it a man and not woman? So on that, the Braisa says that's not coming to exclude from the halachas of tumah, because regarding that, the pasuk says clearly that v'hatzeru ashabai is that the woman's included in the halachas of mitzvah. But rather, le'inyan shalamata. It's regarding the next pasuk, where it talks about this priya and prima, to tell you, ish perei b'chulu, to say that a man has to let his hair grow long, enter in his garments, and not the woman. And that's the source for the halacha, for the difference between the male and the female. Another one is that the Mishnah said, ish madres b'nei b'naz, a man could take upon his minor son, nedev nazirus, but ve'ina ish madres b'nei b'naz, but the woman cannot do that to her son. So Amr B'yech, and this is halacha, he benazir, it's halacha l'mech m'sinai, in the halachas of Nazir, this Moshe Rabbeinu received at Sinai, it's not written in the Pasuk, it's a tradition that we have, and that's how we know that difference. So to Ish Megalech on Nazir's of this, that a man could cut his hair for his own Nazir's, from the Karbanos that his father had separated for his own Nazir's, but ve'in Ish Megalech on Nazir's, but the woman cannot do that, again Amr B'yech, and the halacha benazir, it's halacha l'mech m'sinai, that we have a tradition from Moshe. Another difference is how Ish Mekadesh is Bita, a man could marry off his daughter, but the Ish Mekadesh is Bita, but the woman, the mother cannot do that. The Chassid, like it says, the Pasuk in Devarim, where the beginning of the Pasuk says, V'amar Aviha Nara El Asken, that the father of the girl will tell to the elders, is Biti Nosati L'Ishazeh. This is my daughter that I've given to this man. So you see that the giving over of the girl is related to the father, and that is he can marry off his daughter and not the mother. Again, that's related to a minor who, without her necessarily consent, the father could do that. Now the Mishnah said also, Ish Mecher Es Bita, a man can sell his daughter as a maidservant, but Ve'ina Ish Mecher Es Bita, but the mother cannot do that. Tachsev, like it says in Pasuk in Shemais, Ki Imker Ish Es Bita, that if a man will sell his daughter, that is the man and not the woman. Another difference is, Ha'ish Niskal Ar Mechulam, a man, when he's stoned naked, whereas a woman, my time, what's the reason? Because it says a passing v'yikra, it says v'rogmu oisai, they will stone him. Now, my oisai, what does it mean him? Ilema oisai below oisai, if you would think to say that only a man gets stoned and not a woman, but v'aksiv, but the passing by naraha marasa, whereas a betrothed maiden that's engaged and then has snus with another man, so it says v'yitzeses isha uayase ishahi, that you'll take out that man or that woman. And it says with scaltomizing that you're going to stone them. So obviously the woman does get stoned. So Ella Oisai, rather when it says Oisai, which actually sounds like him, meaning only him, when you're stoning him, is Balei Chesusai, without his garments. Which means because only him, not a garment too. Now that's why it references the inference of being naked in the masculine by a man, when you say Oisai him, to tell you, but Balei Oisai Balei Chesusai, but not her without her garments. When she's stoned with her garments. And finally, the Mishnah said, "Ish nitla ve'ein v'chulu." A man, after he's executed, gets hung, but not a woman. My time, what's the reason? Because Amakar, the Pasuk says in Devarim, "The salisa oisai al eitz," that you will hang him on the wood, oisai below oisai, him and not her. And the last one is, "Ha'ish nimka b'gneivah." So we said that if a man steals and he can't pay back what he stole, he gets sold as a slave to repay that. Ve'in ish nimkas b'gneivasa, but not a woman. My time, what's the reason? Amakra, the Pasuk says in Shemais, the nimka b'gneivasai, that if he doesn't have what to pay up, he'll be sold for his theft, which is b'gneivasai in the masculine, b'gneivasai v'le b'gneivasai, for his theft and not for her theft. When she steals, she can't pay back. She's not sold as an amma of Ria. Hanu l'cha yonaito, which I will turn to the third parak, Mesach de Saita, parak ha yonaito.